When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you tired of using Google Drive or Dropbox to send files to clients? Well, never get burned again with FilePass. I love and use FilePass exclusively for sending files to my clients. It's a cloud file sharing website specifically made by engineers for engineers. It's absolutely amazing. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/FilePass to check out the full feature list and subscribe today. Never lose another dime to burned projects. Happy mixing, my friends, and enjoy the show. Hello, and welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host, DK, and with me, as always, is my lovely co-host, long-term relationship, Lou.
Oh, yeah. Today is my first anniversary of being married.
Today,
yeah, June 10th. 1 year ago today, I got married.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. Yeah. I didn't even ask about that. That was, that's just the timing of it all is crazy.
Yeah, in November, yeah. It'll be 14 years total in relationship. But as far as documented marriage, which
yeah, only one that counts, but that's fine.
Yeah.
That's amazing, dude. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, and yesterday, I got to go visit my new niece. My sister had her kid on the 8th. So now we're looking at my niece as like, cool, you're going to serve as a great reminder as when my anniversary is. 2 days before my anniversary, it's your birthday.
Yeah. By the way, when I made the joke about only one that counts, I'm not diminishing or minimizing relationships.
Yeah, do
but
you?
But I am. But rather than diminishing relationships, I'm saying that marriage is a significant more commitment that requires more applause.
If you want to look at it in any kind of way, it's like, well, I can always break up with my girlfriend. It's not so easy with your wife. Like you really are committing at that point. Like you are risking more than just your love life.
Yes. And on that note, today we're going to be talking about that. A little bit about that. This episode, we're going to try to flesh it out. You know how it is with me and Lou. We always just kind of talk things out, try to make things cohesive and always fail, but we throw some gems in there from time to time. Today's episode is going to be about balancing relationships and music. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of thoughts about this. I'm not going to call anyone out, but there was a conversation on our Discord channel that I think has a lot of nuance and needs to be visited. I'm sure that this is not a minority thought, although, or it could be. But basically the idea of, in order to do well in the music industry, you have to sacrifice everything, including relationships, is kind of the one thought that was shared. And, I disagree completely, and we're going to talk about why, and but where that has some value, where that original thought has some value.
Mm-hmm.
So the one thing that I think that we need to point out is this idea of sacrifice. Yes, of course, we need to sacrifice things for everything, right? No matter what we want, even if you want to become the manager of a McDonald's, you have to sacrifice some things, including comfort is one of the first things that mm-hmm. people sacrifice, right? Schedules, and you have to prioritize everything in your life and figure out what you're not willing to sacrifice, and those values are different. Now, what I'm not going to try to do, and I'm going to try my best to refrain from this, is I'm not going to assert and declare that generally speaking, these things are should be more of a priority for everyone. Everybody's lives are different. Everyone's
viewpoints are different.
Viewpoints are different. Lifestyles are different.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that this is a superior motivation, but I am. It's more what we're going to try to do is generalize to help you figure out what your priorities are. And the problem with having an opinion where you have to sacrifice relationships is coming at the cost that you that will then include anybody that it is not possible to be in a relationship and to do well in the industry when the two people are the hosts of the podcast are happily married so far and sounds like without any stopping. Okay, so where I'm trying to articulate these things, we're gonna do our best to kind of get through this, and I'm gonna do my best to not get upset because I have a feeling that this is gonna trigger me, and I know that the audience loves it when I get really heated and passionate and stuff, but it's not necessarily good for me. So I'm gonna try to.
If you'd like, I could play a light devil's advocate because you already know which side I'm on, but
yeah, you know, I think we're both on the same side, which also makes this episode potentially.
One-sided.
More confirmation, but yeah, more one-sided. Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I could do a small devil's advocate because it's not an unfamiliar notion. So,
yeah, we do know a lot of people that have done both. Have sacrificed a relationship to do well, and then people that were not willing to sacrifice a relationship to do well. Mm-hmm. And do I want to generalize? Of course, there's always danger in generalizing. No, I know both sides that are happy, but I also know both sides that are miserable.
Yeah. I think that's the nuance right there, though. I think that's exactly it. It comes down to really a personal choice that gets debated so often that it becomes, is this really going to hurt my career or is this a preference?
Yeah, I think this is more about the idea of like prioritization and sacrifice. For mm-hmm. example, I think the notion of I have to sacrifice this in order to do well is the equivalent of throwing a coin into a wishing well. It's not real. Yeah. Sacrifice in itself has no inherent value.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I think my brain is going towards.
Yeah, I can see that.
So it's like, it's not about sacrificing relationships. It's not about sacrificing rent or sacrificing whatever, right? It's truly just about focus. And just because you sacrifice something, it doesn't focus you into other things. I would say oftentimes, depending on how you look at it, and this is the problem with the guy that is posting on Discord, with the nuance and the context that is written, it seems like this potential sacrifice is more of a negative projection of themselves and how the projection of insecurity, as well as the snowball effect of bad things continue to happen. And the idea of projecting saying that no creatives can have a stable relationship and balance that with work. These are all things that I don't think necessarily correlate to each other.
There's one that I always hear, which was always the one that piqued me, which was having a relationship is nothing more than a distraction that holds you back from the potential success you could have had. That notion is the one that I keep hearing the most because it usually comes from a land of fear and desire at the same time. The desire
That's
is
a really
to
good
want
point.
To succeed, right? Everybody wants to succeed. And it's just like you said, everybody at the start of a race has the same goal, comes down to the systems you put in place. But those systems are part of the sacrifice that a lot of people really don't acknowledge as the actual sacrifice. When they say that you have to sacrifice your relationships, your fun, your comforts, and things of that nature, what they're not talking about is like, hey, you can't have a girlfriend and chase your dreams at the same time. That's, what are you doing? It's like, no, hold on. I think part of that sacrifice also can exist within the relationship, but as a mutual understanding where, hey, DK, did you not tell your wife, like, hey, you know, I'm going to be in music. Like, are you sure you want this? Like, I'm letting you know right now that even joining a relationship with somebody who's after this career is a sacrifice, not just for myself, but for the person who's going to be with me.
You're going to have to sacrifice comfort.
Can you weather the rain with me? Reason being I say it like that is because at the end of the day, we're all making a sacrifice to watch our partner do this too. So the person in the relationship, if they're really down with the relationship and really want to be around, you know, it's something that you weather the storm together. It's not something that they become a distraction when they can not, instead of being that, they might just be your best teammate. They might be the person that actually is supporting you the most. But a lot of people see it as, oh, well, a relationship means you're going out on dates, you're doing this, you're doing that. But in reality, if I had a day off, I don't want to spend that day off by myself or thinking about work. Let's just be honest.
Yeah. And this is the dangerous potential, like the potential that I wanted. It's not about the relationship. There's something more deeper. For example, you mentioned fear. Mm-hmm. I think the role that fear plays in this scenario is significantly more important to the direct outcomes and the focus or lack of focus. In general, fear is the thing that we are all susceptible to, is part of our DNA, is part of our biology. It is fear that has kept us safe from predators for millions of years, right? Hundreds of thousands of years, if not millions of years. Fear does play a vital role and is important, but we must learn to balance. I think that my success and your success, partially, we can even talk about the importance of naivete and like the fact that we were so naive and so optimistic and we had so little fear that we were able to maintain focus even through delusion that helped us to get to where we are today. It wasn't necessarily us being in a relationship or not being in a relationship. It was the fact that we were able to maintain this healthy balance of pragmatic, practical fear and naivete. Honestly, I think that's just what it comes down to, which is conducive to focus. Maybe I don't really want to talk about it. I hate this topic, but when you were a child, you were diagnosed with Asperger's, but like autism and ADHD is like the superpower to be able to hyperfocus. So maybe that has to do something with it. And I rarely ever bring up the topic of like ADHD. I don't want to define myself as that. But if you've listened to the podcast, I'm sure that it's very apparent that we both got it, basically.
A touch of the tism.
Yeah, the touch of the tism there as well. But I think that that's the most important part. I love that you brought up fear. And I do think that a lot of people, like, and this is there's a lot of books that I'm reading recently about, like, relationships, parenting, as well as being a child. So a lot of like relationship psychology, and I'm no psychotherapist. I'm not a licensed therapist. I'm not a psychologist, right? Or a psychiatrist. But there's the patterns that I'm realizing is that there seems to be a deep connection with fear and commitment. And when there is fear in the way, then it is difficult to commit. If you feel that you are not enough or you fear that even if it is not conscious, fully conscious, your fear that you can't trust your partner, maybe you were cheated on before, something like that. It's hard to trust any future partners. That fear is going to keep you from committing. So it's going to be like, I can't get married to you. I can't have children. I'm going to break up with you first before you fall out of love with me. These all come from a place of trauma and denial. And
it's holding excess transgressions above your partner's head.
And it is a fear-based thing that runs deep in all of us. Yes, I in this place, maybe something, somehow I came out of my childhood unscathed and I was able to maintain this, the faith of relationships, the faith, my faith in long-term relationships. And I cannot say the same with everybody. There is, many people have a very diminished or minimized faith in long-term relationships because their parents got divorced, even though they were seemingly happy. And then all of a sudden, or like they were part of an abusive relationship or they got cheated on or their dad cheated on their mom or vice versa. Right. And they see how broken it can be and they become a lot more cynical and fear starts to take place. And again, this is a really difficult conversation because fear is practical. It protects us. But going back to the initial thought with sacrifice, I do not believe sacrifices made based on fear lead to focus. I do not think so. I think conscious sacrifices that you make in spite of fear leads to focus.
Yeah.
So in that case, if you are afraid of long-term relationship potentially, the easy solution is to just not be in one. But if you're like, this is scary, but I like it. So it's being aware of what you like. I like being in a relationship. I like that it calms me down. I'm scared of commitment. I'm terrified. But I think that this is good for me. In spite of fear, you work through it and it's more of a practice of conscientiousness and discipline. Right, then I think it can prove to focus. It's like, I'm scared of relationships, but I'm willing to commit because I, first off, you need to understand that you like it. I've determined that this is good for me, that I want to have this. I like this. I'm willing to commit to this in spite of fear. I'm going to focus in and I'm going to sacrifice some pleasures like going out to drink, you know, hanging out with my friends every night or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. But whatever it is to, I'm not going out to the clubs every weekend, right? Whatever it is to do what you really want. So the third part is, so we talked about sacrifice, we talked about fear. The third part is desire, right? So again, the point is, sorry, Lou, I'm just like ranting right now because I'm thinking out loud. But the point is, it's not necessarily about relationships because there are happy people that are committed to never being in a relationship. And there are absolutely miserable people that are committed to not being in a relationship.
Yeah.
And it's not about the relationship. It's something deeper and more internal. And those are kind of like my firsthand thoughts that I'm having.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked about this in the past about the I guess option that I've been given, which was to choose my career and leave my relationship behind or to keep it. And you've even mentioned it. It's like, dude, this sounds like a significant thing to you because it's the same thing we're talking about right now where a lot of people have an opinion on this. A lot of people have actually voiced their fear or their extreme distaste to dating while building your career because it's a distraction, this and that. Yet where I found myself in my shoes when I was given the option, it wasn't an offer based on like we're having issues. It was like, hey, I see you doing a lot. And you are moving and it is fast. I don't know if I can, you know, move at this pace with you without feeling like I'm the one that's holding you back. So I had kind of like the weird other side of this issue where it's like, it's not that I'm looking at her saying like, you know, I think you're holding me back. It's like she's probably looking around hearing all the people with that same notion saying like, oh yeah, I gave up everything for my career and look at me now, and you know, I've reconnected later in life, this and that. It's like, that's cool and all, but you know, to be honest, I didn't have an issue maintaining a relationship while doing this. At one point I was going to school full time. I was working full time. I owned a studio and I was in a relationship. I remember sleeping in school just to make things happen. The sacrifice that I chose was not having the relationship. The sacrifice I chose is where I slept at that point. You know, how much time did I spend working versus at home watching TV? How much time did I spend hanging out with my friends versus reassuring my education in a subject and building better relationships and taking every gig that I could take? But the thing that never became a factor was my relationship. In fact, my relationship is really what held me through. I guess if you want to talk about emotional support, then find yourself somebody who really gives a shit about you, and then tell me you don't have emotional support so I can slap you. But the reality is this, like, I like to think that because of the support that I had, that you will not hear without questioning it from a third party. And most times in our industry, there can be people who fluff you up and then disappear. Sometimes it just happens. Some people are there to stay. But more often than not, this is why I'm a big believer in, like, maintaining really good relationships. Have people that you can trust to be honest with you, whether you like it or not, around you. But some of those people are the people you go home to. If you go home to nobody the whole time and you've just been cheated for the day, it's really easy to be jaded. But it, for me, it was a really nice anchor to have somebody I can trust and care about and want to be with at the end of the day, every day, go home and just be happy. Because there's enough stress outside of it to say you have to do it alone. And doing it alone is ultimately what gives you the focus and success that you're after. And it's the only way, because a relationship is nothing but a distraction. A lot of those people have never really, I would say that they've probably in a relationship that was healthy where people support each other. But I can say firsthand that I had never been in a relationship at that time that was as supportive. So when given the option, it wasn't a thought of, you know, yeah, I could do better. It was, the fuck are you talking about? What do you mean I could do better if you weren't around? Do you realize, like, no, that's wrong. I wouldn't necessarily do better because I don't know how this factors into my work ethic. This doesn't factor into how many jobs I take, how I manage my time, or how I set my boundaries. Yeah. This only affects if I go home to somebody or not, and if I have somebody to talk about things with at the end of the day that will ultimately want to understand and listen to me.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store.
Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Okay, so I want to real quick play devil's advocate with the problem with desire and sacrifice as well.
Yeah.
Classic example, I'm willing to sacrifice everything to be in the music industry. Even if that means
dying not at having 27?
Yeah, that's right. No, I was thinking about like I'll get fired at my job. I will not sleep. I will do everything that it can in order to, I will sacrifice everything. I will go homeless.
No, in order burning to your bridges. Get into,
I will, burning do, whatever. The boats. But the point is, with the wrong level of desire, with the unfocused desire, it can become really chaotic. It can turn into a sacrifice, can be misconstrued into not laziness, but a lack of focus. And I think I want to be very clear about this. And the reason why sacrifice is such a scary topic is because, again, sacrifice in itself is inherently not good or bad. you must sacrifice in order to maintain focus. So I'm trying to think here. For example, like, I'm not going to go to work today because I need to make a beat. And thus you get fired. That wasn't a good sacrifice. I can't pay rent today because I refuse to have a regular job. So I'm getting evicted. That's not a good sacrifice. In fact, I would say that your inability to sacrifice maintaining having a normal job, maintaining not getting fired, maintaining a stable relationships, that's not sacrifice. That is neglect. That is neglect. And when you are neglectful, that will contribute to your lack of success more. Like, it doesn't, there is a big gap, a big chasm between sacrifice and neglect. And I do think another thing too that I want to be very clear about is, and this is something that I struggle a lot with, and I'm sure that many other people do too, is the concept of you sacrifice everything for what you thought was a good desire, and you get there to realize that's not where you wanted to be. This happened when I first moved to LA. A lot of things started happening too fast, really fast. And I get, and I'm working with some big people, and then I realize I do not want to be doing this, right? That is something that is real and is something to consider as well. For example, there should be something more macro than this. And I hate to be philosophical here, but why do you want to do well with the music industry? Is it for money? what is money for? To be carefree? What is the carefree for? It almost always leads to one thing, happiness. And the people think that you have to sacrifice happiness to get to the end goal, which is almost always completely the opposite of what it is. You should never sacrifice happiness to get what you think will bring you happiness. You sacrifice whatever it takes to get to happiness. And oftentimes when you understand that, then sacrificing your apartment to go homeless is not the right, that's neglect. That's not sacrifice. That turns into neglect. So do not sacrifice personal happiness. Do not neglect your personal happiness, because we do it all in order to be happy and to make others happy. This is a quote from one of my favorite psychologists and philosophers, Alfred Adler. He says, "The feeling happiness is the feeling of contribution." I'm going to repeat that. Happiness is the feeling of contribution. If you do not feel like you're contributing to society, to the world, to your family, to your job, it will make you miserable. Okay? That is where misery and depression comes into play, potentially, is his argument that I strongly believe in. Okay? Taking care of someone. So going back to the low-hanging fruit conversation of relationships, again, it's much deeper than that, but we're going to use that as an example. Contributing to a relationship can make someone happy. Being a stable partner can make someone happy. Lou taking care of Anna makes you feel fulfilled as a man.
Yeah.
As a human, right? Being a father for me, feeding my children, fulfills me as a human. And in turn, I make music because music was therapeutic for me growing up. I love music. I have a deep, deep-rooted passion for music, which I'm sure all of us do. It can't be selfish. It's almost completely selfless because music is hard, and I'm potentially sacrificing my love for music in order to make music, right? Or whatever delusion I tell myself.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, I feel like I'm contributing to something good in this world, which keeps me happy.
You know, right. I will say this. I feel like some of, I'd rather get some heat for this one, if anything, because I'm not making assumption.
I'll pull you back if we need to.
Okay. I feel like the majority of people who say, you know, relationships are more of an issue when you take on, you know, a career path, and that it's holding you back from your success, you might just be jaded as fuck. to be honest. Like, you might have had a past relationship that went so sour or been burnt so bad in the past that, you know, the whole idea of, like, you know, you can't be in a relationship. They're just going to hold you back. And, you know, honestly speaking, like, you know, they're going to be emotional and this and that. They're going to want attention. They're going to want to go on dates, this and that. It's like, that's kind of the funnest part of a relationship. Let's just be fucking honest. You don't want to go on dates. You don't want to go see a movie together. You don't want to go to an Italian restaurant together. You don't want to spoil each other once in a while. Like, come on. but I will say this, that most of the people that I have heard with this notion also have a very jaded view. And one of the, because I'm saying this because I know that I always get thrown into the bubble of married or long-term relationship, that I don't know what the dating pool is like anymore. And you know what, honestly speaking, I don't date anymore. I'm fucking married. So that's true. That's true. But I also know that I've seen what I've seen trends wise and like personalities wise and what's out on Instagram, is what kind of causes that fear where people are talking about like, oh, if you're not hyper successful, I don't even want a relationship with you anymore. Or in general, I get that. I understand that fear because I think that's every guy's fear at the same time and every woman's fear in general. Like, but to be 100% honest, if you get off social media and you let your ego go for a little bit, you would find that there's actually very genuine people in the world who are actually down to ride, people who don't really care if you have money or cars now, like unlike what's being pitched all over social media and everything. I understand that the dating pool style may be a little bit different than it was when I was dating, but the goal and intentions on why you date and why you move a certain way has not changed. You know, if your fear is that, you know, you might get burned in the middle of your relationship, it's going to cause friction during your path to your career and this and that, then I'm sorry, you got into a bad relationship. Everybody does it, you know? I don't think anybody, well, I'm not going to lie, I don't know if you know this, DK, or not, but Anna, oh man, this sounds like I'm tooting my own horn, but she one and done. First boyfriend, first husband. I know that's not the case 99.99% of the time.
Also, like, what is that? What is that? I don't know what you're trying to prove with that, that she didn't, like, because I can easily extrapolate, say, like, okay, she's dumb for not experimenting.
No, exactly.
Or like, am I technically
the best and the worst relationship? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. So, like,
but I'm saying, like, most people will date around and experience more people. And then, you know, make their decision from there. But to say that you're just not going to date in your 20s or in your, I guess, pre-20s, your 18, 19-year-old, you know, in your early working years, just to say that you won't date because it's going to hold you back from your career sounds more like a jaded response to a past relationship than it sounds like an actual founded fear of like, oh yeah, relationships do take time. And my experience is that if you don't pay attention to them right here and now, then the relationship's over and they're just going to call you all the time and it's going to become a big issue. It's like that sounds like a bad relationship in the past kind of hits you that way. But most healthy relationships, I've seen people work together and they build together. And at the end of the day, most people that are very relationship forward minded tend to talk about being with somebody who you can build with, not just a family, but your entire life.
Yeah, there's I want to go back a little bit, Lou. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I don't want to
stray.
Stray from the direction that you were trying to go. But again, we're using relationships as a metaphor for something deeper.
Yeah.
And I like that you're pushing the metaphor a bit more, but I want to go back to that slightly deeper thing. So once again, just to recap, there's no inherent value in sacrifice, and the line between sacrifice and neglect is very thin. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's the point there. And we need to talk. We've done episodes about desire and the importance of desire. But the point is this, and I need to retract some of my statements, not retract what I'm saying, but like I need to be more clear about how I feel things. For example, I do not think if you are getting fired from your job, if you are neglecting work, you're neglecting paying rent, I think that being neglectful is part of the reason why you're not doing well in the industry, or you won't do well in the industry. I think the only type of personality and person that can do well in the industry is not the type of person that can somehow figure out how to monetize and never get a regular job, but is the type of person who is able to balance desire and sacrifice and continue to maintain focus, right? So that is the thesis that we've brought up in the past, okay? So quitting your job, going homeless is not a virtue inherently. It is not. It is not. That being said, I want to go back and I want to talk to the people that are kind of going through struggles right now. Mm-hmm. I need to be very, very clear with this. All right. I don't really bring it up often, but when I moved to LA, I was homeless for a few months, actually. And Lou was a part of that. Right. And there was a lot of struggle there. And I know what it's like. I know how hard it is. I know that you think you're doing something good, you're sacrificing, and I'm not saying that I necessarily regret it. That was a part of the life that I needed to go through in order to learn, and I also don't want to take that learning experience from you, the listener, right? The one thing that I don't want to do is I don't want our conversation and my sincere thoughts about this to make you feel shame. That is not the point. There is... there's something wrong with all of us. Shame is more of the feeling that you feel like something's wrong with me. I'm the problem. Something is wrong with me. And then guilt is a little bit different there. But I'm not trying to incite shame. I'm not trying to create shame or fear. What I am trying to, what I want to do is to inspire hope and that... there is virtue in doing the difficult thing of creating balance. There is virtue in doing the difficult personal self-work of figuring out exactly what it is you want and why you want it beyond just what's in front of you, like money, get 2x platinum, get a Grammy. Well, why do you want to get a Grammy? There's something deeper there. And that next level, that deeper, the higher IQ thinking you need to go through. And it's difficult for everybody and everybody has to go through it. You have to go through that. This should be more hopeful. Like if you're figuring out some things that are scary, some things like, what do I want to sacrifice? What do I need to sacrifice? And this is the last thing that I want to talk about is also, there is nothing more virtuous than doing something you don't like in order to support the thing that you do like.
It sounds like becoming an adult.
Yeah, there's nothing more virtuous than that. For example, like, I don't like working a 9-to-5. But I cannot support myself and, like, assuming that I have a family, cannot support me and my family if I do not have a 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. Like, that's neglect if I sacrifice that in order to pursue this. And it is immature to think to say that I have to pick one. That is a false binary. Mm-hmm. It's not 0 and 1. It's not you can pursue a music career or support your family. It's not. You can do both. And it's the people that figure out how to do both and sacrifice other things that provide comfort. It's not until people figure that out that they actually can do well. It's those types of people that can figure that out that do well. I'm starting to lose cohesion in my thoughts here. Save me, Lou, if you need to.
Yeah, sure. Honestly speaking, a big part of that is the idea of, okay, well, then what is the sacrifice that people are talking about? Like, why is it that some people are just exiting the dating pool at all, you know, for that, right? Part of the reason that this sacrifice is misconstrued is because you can, but most people don't want to give up something else that is harder, which is I gave up sleep to maintain a lot of them. Like I said, I used to sleep in my... you know, fuck it.
Which is debatably retarded. We have talked about that.
But I'll say like this. I happily worked and made a lot of relationships at work because I worked at a music store in the middle of a big music city on a very, very popular and well-known area block. Aside from that, I went to school and I wanted to get the most that I could out of school. But sometimes I really didn't need to practice the lab because I had already professionally been working on some of the consoles at school. So I'd book the lab and fall asleep during lab. I'd also ran the studio during going to school and everything. And I would sometimes sleep at the studio in between mixes and masters and recording sessions. because I needed to get sleep where I could and still maintain my relationship. And some people say, well, all the time you were doing relationship duties, like, you could have been sleeping too. It's like, yeah, but I really, really enjoyed my relationship, and all that extra work that I was doing did put money in my pockets to where it's like, when I was, you know, out with Anna, you know, fuck it. It's my time with Anna. We're going to go out to eat. We're going to do all this. Some people don't want to say, oh, but I have to work so much in exchange for the relationship. It's like, listen, if you value your relationship, or you want to have a relationship that you can value or will be valuing, whatever, there's other sacrifices outside of a relationship. Now, it's on you if you want to do that. Like, some people say, oh, well, I want to buy a house sooner than later. It's like, cool, then don't buy a car. You know, find a job close to home and walk. That way you can save on insurance and a car payment. And nowadays, the average car is what, like $400 to $500 a month if you're doing a 5 to 6 year payment plan. Plus
what,
a full,
what the fuck, like, is that number pulled out of,
a Honda
dude?
Civic, Honda Civic around like Honda Civic around like $22,000 to $25,000. You're spending around
most
like $300.
People, most, yeah, I'm gonna say if you. I'm going to quote Jay-Z on this. If you can't buy it twice, you can't afford it.
Okay.
I don't think.
Okay, granted, that is true. But remember, some people just want a car just because they can afford the monthly. I'm not an advice guru on finances.
Dumb.
Yes.
That is dumb.
Yeah, we agree with that.
I will take the role of an advice guru. Don't get into debt, you dummy.
But that's not the point of what we're talking about right now. What we are talking about is, sacrifice comes in many different ways and forms, but to say that solely sacrificing the idea of ever having a relationship in the early years is what's going to correlate directly to you succeeding any faster. There's no metrics behind that. There's no actual proof. If that was a studied thing, I don't think that would necessarily come out as.
Say that again. Say it again.
I don't think there's any metrics behind that.
If
you were to give up relationships in your early years or early career, in order to succeed faster.
Yeah, actually, there's data in the opposite. There's data that
if you have a relationship, you succeed better.
Yeah, there's I was trying to look for it and I couldn't find it.
Okay.
I
stand corrected. There's metrics, but apparently it doesn't work for the notion.
Oh my goodness. Okay, this is, I have no other way to present this. I hate doing this, but this is going to be a trust me, bro advice for now, because to find the source. I need to find the source, and I hate doing this, but just for this, there was... Was it an interview? I can't even remember if it was an interview or a book or a podcast or something like that. I do remember that it was a psychologist or a psychiatrist mentioned that. Oh, it was a relationship psychiatrist, whatever the word is, that mentioned that there seems to be more success in relationships when someone that is high in openness, aka very creative, people that are high in openness benefit more from long-term stable relationships, because when they're out in the world, they're being very chaotic, very creative. They come home and they can actually relax, refresh with some stability.
Yeah.
But those that are creative and chaotic outside and then have no place to rest creates more anxiety. And more neuroticism. So I forgot again, I do not remember the source. I mean, it makes sense logically, but I hate doing this, but this is a trust me, bro thing. There may be some data about how people that are high in openness, those that are very creative, especially benefit from long-term stable relationships.
Well, that's good. Shit, then it sounds like my relationship's been helping me in a way I did not expect.
Yeah.
But with that said, you know, it's just, we're obviously nitpicking on the idea that this is the one sacrifice people are pointing out, but it's because it's a very, very popularly voiced one. It's not that it's the only sacrifice that's ever mentioned, but it's significantly easier to say, you know what, I'm not currently in a relationship, and so I just won't get into one, which to me sounds like you probably don't know how to date.
Hold on. Yeah, there's a difference between There sometimes is like, sometimes it's just practical. Yeah. For example, if you don't care about being in a relationship that doesn't bother you, then we're not going to force you to be in a relationship.
Yeah, that's
but
cool.
But it is different when like you want to be in one, but you're avoiding it because you feel like that's a sacrifice you have to make.
And you hold on to this notion of like, hey, the reason I don't is because it's better for your career.
I truly do not believe we need to sacrifice personal happiness, long-term happiness, in exchange for something that we think will make us happy. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You sacrifice things that bring you fun, short-term happiness, potentially drinking and partying. Those things, like you sacrifice short-term, you know, fun activities, but happiness, long-term joy, comes from deep loving compassion and relationships, friendships. These are not things that you need to sacrifice in order to get what you think will bring you happiness. That is the most back-ass words way to think. And a lot of people, there's been so many people that are hyper-successful that have talked about this openly on many podcasts. Like, go listen to any podcast with anybody successful. Many people will realize that this is one of the things that they're fighting with their ego all the time. Is like, I thought being rich was going to make me happy. Little did I realize that sacrificing happiness to get me rich made me realize there was less happiness to have when you're rich.
Yeah.
It's don't do that to yourself.
Have you ever
It is a classic archetype.
Have you ever heard the notion? This one always cracks me up, and I think it's not necessarily a great thing that he does, but it just seems to be like I thought A would result in B, and it resulted in C. I didn't see that one coming. But yeah. I actually know somebody who this happened to, and I kind of gave him the fair warning, and now it's a thing. Before they got super successful, they made the choice of giving up their relationship. And they said, you know, if it's really real, I can always get it back later. And I'm like, remember this, people change. People grow up, and this relationship with the person you had has paved its way to shaping who that person is in the future. And the moment you end that relationship, I'm not saying that they're never going to see you again or want to see you again, but your personality and mindsets are going to change, and you're going to have no correlation or understanding of how theirs changed over time. So you can't just walk back into things like that. Yeah. So if you think about it, one of the big issues that a lot of people with money talk about when they're in the dating pool and they try, I guess, taking a step back, is now two things happen. Your standards have to go up because the person you are needs to match the person you're with or work, be able to work well with each other. But, you know, if you had trust issues ever before and didn't have money and you were in a relationship that was actually kind and caring and you left that to become hyper successful and then you now try getting back into the dating pool, there are quite a few people out there who are more interested in people's success than the people behind the success. And that becomes very apparent to a lot of people in success. You know, they start seeing that in dating pool. And now guess what? Now you have a harder time dating because you have a harder time telling who's genuinely into you or your success. So you kind of shoot yourself in the foot in the later in life's part. Like we're talking about becoming successful. And the one person that this happened to, their response was like, well, either way, the type of girls I'm trying to see later in life are like big booty bitches and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay,
hey,
cool.
Hey, listen, man,
like you make your choices.
We're not here to kink shame. And the one thing, I want to be very clear. We're also not here to say that your desires are fucked.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Truly, I do not understand adults that hate children, that do not like children, or like that don't want to have children. I don't understand that. But never will I ever shame anybody for feeling that way.
Exactly.
Nor do I think it is incorrect inherently to think that way. The only thing that I want to oppose is if you think like if you're not wanting to have children based off of fear, based off a lack of commitment, I don't think that that's really a sturdy foundation. But if it's like, no, I just don't want it. I don't think it'll make me happy. I just don't like kids and I'm okay with that. Cool. I'm not here to judge any sort of desire-based thing. I just want to clarify, it's usually something deeper It's usually fear. And most of this stuff, I hate to say it, but the more that I read and look into this stuff, these are values and thoughts and self-hatred and fear is usually instilled in us by our parents much younger. It is partially genetic as well. There is a lot potentially working against us. And at the same time, the one message that we hope to share over and over again with this is in psychology as well as in psychotherapy as well as in Buddhist philosophy, Eastern philosophy, there's two main goals. Is one, to increase self-awareness. Am I feeling fear? To recognize these feelings that we're having. Am I feeling shame? Am I feeling fear? What is it that I truly want? How do I decipher and determine what is worthwhile sacrifice versus what is neglect? Increasing self-awareness. And the second thing is developing and using tools to help us cope with this self-awareness. For example, one coping mechanism is I will never be in a relationship. Someone broke my heart, so I'm going to cope by disavowing all relationships in the future. That's not necessarily, that could be, but that's not necessarily inherently a good way of coping, right? Like, this is an extreme example, but like a classic bad example is like, I cope by physically injuring myself, right?
Oof, yeah.
Like that's a bad way of coping. Extreme forms of OCD, that's your mind trying to cope, but like it can no longer function properly, right? So there's like bad coping. So you have to have the tools. So increasing your awareness of where that came from, why it's happening, how it's affecting your not just your mind, but as well as your body, your nervous system. I mean, the fact that you can look at a girl or a dog, right? And it incites so much fear that you start like hyperventilating. Like this is your body telling you something. It can affect the nervous system, right? I just want to be clear that that's all we want to do is this is a podcast episode of hope and assurance that if you feel like you're going in the right direction, you probably are based on what we're talking. And if you feel like you're making a lot of bad decisions right now, I'm never going to pity anybody. I'm not going to be like, oh, so sad for you. Oh, but I do hope that you're able to learn from this. You're able to overcome it. I believe you can. And that is through increased self-awareness and finding tools that work for you, whether that is meditation for me, it's running, for Lou, it's weightlifting. For us, it's this podcast. For all of us, it's music in some way or another. For many of us, it should be seeing a therapist, right? Whatever it takes, getting our shit together, getting our minds right, in order to get us what we really want, which is happiness for ourselves and a feeling of contribution, contributing to those around us. Okay, does that close our thesis? Does that close this episode?
I think so.
I think so, too. All right. That was a pretty deep episode. I'm really glad for anybody that stuck around and listened to the whole thing. Thank you for bearing with us. These sorts of episodes to me are significantly more important to the success of a music career and balancing art, and creative endeavors and personal satisfaction, happiness. So, is a big deal to us and me. So thank you so much for listening. I hope that this episode was helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about how the fuck compressors and EQs work, go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive for access to the exclusive episodes. 2 new episodes a week. And there's already like a library of a couple hundred of them. So you get access to all of them and you get 2 new episodes a week that are almost always, or no, they are always a technical base. How to use compressors, how to use reverbs, how to use delays, and how other mixers do it in these different ways, different exercises you could do, mix breakdowns, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So if you liked more of that, go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive. All right. And on that note, thank you so much for listening. If you like episodes like this, please rate this episode 5 stars or this podcast 5 stars and let us know when you comment on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform you listen to. If it has the ability to leave notes, please let us know that you like it. And we will try to do more of those types of episodes. If you don't like it, that's cool. Message us. Don't leave us a 1-star review, but feel free to message us and be like, hey, I'm not really interested in that. That's cool. Those are valuable too.
All right, on that note, happy missing, my friends, and stay saucy.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.